This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, we're going to get Dave Murray's forecast here, but I had to play a little Paul Simon because he announced a tour today. He's coming to St. Louis for two dates, Stiefel Theater, April 28th and the 29th. Now, Paul Simon, I love Paul Simon.
Me too.
I've seen him several times in concert. He's 83 years old.
And did you see him on the SNL special?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It was real not good.
And I just saw, when we were in the break, I was tooling around Instagram, and there's a video that someone posted of Don Felder, who wrote, Hotel California, yeah. Former member of the Eagles, and he's on one of these rock cruise ship things.
Okay.
And he's starting to sing, and he basically has an episode. He looked like Joe Biden in the debate, and they had to pull him off stage.
Oh,
so and he's 77 years old. So I love Paul Simon, but man, I don't know about this one, right? But two dates. We'll keep you posted on that. Let's get an update on the weather. Everyone's kind of wondering what's going to happen. Dave Murray is back with us this afternoon. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing fine.
Well, how are we doing weather-wise? What's moving in?
We're doing okay. Yeah, a batch of snow is coming in. If you have been watching the radar all day, you would probably be thinking, man, that snow is going to get here way earlier than everybody's saying it's going to get here. But we have this cold, dry, dry air over us. And so the snow is struggling to moisten up the atmosphere. It is coming. The heaviest stuff is going to be to our south, but we're going to have snow overnight tonight. It should move in. I would think we'll start to see some stuff here in the next hour, hour and a half or so. And I like the idea by Wednesday morning of about 3 inches of a powdery, dry snow. You go north, almost no snow at all. You go south, that's where the big snow is. I still like the line from Jeff City to Farmington to Chester, along and south of that line, 8 to 12 inches. So we have this tremendous snow gradient across the area. The bigger problem for St. Louis, most people say, 3 inches of a dry snow, I can handle that. But the air is so cold, the ground is so cold, that once it starts snowing, the roads are going to slick up very quickly, just because. And the chemicals are not going to be working very well on this. It's just too cold. And so even though it's not a big snow for us, it could be an impactful snow for travel anyway.
Here's what I think of that. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Do not like
I don't
it.
Like it either. It was a dry snow that we got. And Dave, when it was falling this morning, it was one of those commutes where it's just blowing around. It's more blowing around in your face than anything else. But by the end of the commute, people were slipping and sliding.
Right. And that's exactly what's going to happen this evening and overnight tonight. It's the exact texture snow that we had this morning. It's the exact same thing.
All right, well, we'll see if my daughter has to take fourth grade over again because she's been off school so much. Because then when we hear this, there's no doubt they won't have school tomorrow. And then that means probably because it's so cold, that means Thursday, if not the rest of the week. This is quite something, Dave, because as you know, we just have not had a winter in such a long time. I have this Marmot, very nice winter coat that I got at the Alpine shop years ago. And it's like my warmest coat. And I mean, the past five winters, I may have worn that thing, 8 times or something like that. This year, I've worn it 30 times already.
Yeah.
Right, right. And you got we got a long way to go. We even though we are going to be in the mid-50s come Monday, February still looks like a cold month, a snowy month, and so does March. And April's going to be chilly, too.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up. We don't want to hear
that's
it.
Good.
Thank
that's
you, Dave. We'll see you. Before Sue's News, I wanted to share something because you guys might remember this, and I don't know if I ever even said anything on the air. You knew that I won fantasy football, so I won a little fantasy football money, and I thought, let's do something for my daughter and my wife because I had a little extra found cash. So Alexa, right around the holidays, this was around New Year's, said she saw a commercial when we were watching football. I think she said, I'd like to go on a cruise. She saw like a Royal Caribbean commercial. So I win the fantasy football money. I'm thinking, you know what? This is going to be pretty cool. I'm going to surprise them. We did not have spring break plans. Becky and I are going to Greece with listeners here in a couple of months, but we didn't have spring break plans. So I bought them a cruise in the Caribbean. It's a 4-day cruise. So I recorded this. This is Alexa finding out the other night.
What are you doing?
We're going on a cruise.
Yeah.
Spring break.
Yay! You and me.
Yep. Girls trip, very excited.
Great.
Now, something happened kind of related to that, though, last week that I was a little confused by. I get these emails. I think I've told you guys that she's part of something called Stanton Singers, and they do this deal where they sang last week or a couple weeks ago at the Eureka High School for the girls wrestling match. They have like girls wrestling match. And I think they're going to do something at Busch Stadium eventually. But her music teacher sent something out and it said that the next concert was on the 26th of March, right? So that's a Thursday night. No, it's Wednesday. I'm sorry. It's a Wednesday. I'm like, wait a second there. That's weird that why would they do something like that during spring break? Why would they have that during the kids, right?
Oh, no. Too many snow days.
I booked the wrong week.
Mark
I booked the wrong week for the cruise.
Oh.
Yeah. So Becky calls me Sunday. She's with some parents. Says, hey, what? I feel like I don't know how I did it. I really don't.
I
don't know how I did it.
That out
because
too.
I looked at the stupid calendar. So this is Hall of Fame level stupidity. I'm really good at this. There's no way to get out of it. So essentially, my crack a couple of minutes ago, my daughter redoing fourth grade. Hell, she's hardly been there the entire year. She's going to miss an entire week for this trip because we can't cancel it now.
Why can't you cancel it?
Because
you can't transfer.
I tried. I worked with Anna, who was helping me out. And it's just way, there's too many penalties and stuff. So they're going on the cruise, but they're going on the cruise for someone else's spring break, not our spring break in Rockwood. Now, remember what I said in the last hour, Sue. These are moments where the host doesn't really have to share this with the audience or with his colleagues, right? He could keep his stupidity to himself, but I do this because I feel like there's probably people out there get a good laugh. But look, let's think about it here. And I had to do this because I'm telling you, when this hit me the other day, I'm like, how could I have done this? I still don't know. But look, with all of the terrible things and health issues that people have, and I was just reaching out today to my friend Chris Kerber, and Chris's father passed away over the weekend, and he's dealing with that. So when I'm thinking I wanted to mention that because his dad was real important to him, and he's getting some announcements out there for a visitation, et cetera. But look, in the whole scheme of things, is it the worst thing? No.
No.
You know, she'll miss
certainly
two days
not for her.
Right. We're going to do a little extra reading on this cruise. Can you believe this?
How about some homework during spring break?
Yeah. How do I outdo myself on this, though, in the future? I really don't know if I can.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow is all I had to say, too.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I think all of us have done something like that. I got the wrong, but not a cruise for a week that you can't get back, Fred.
How sick did you feel, Mark?
Oh, that would have just been the worst.
Fred, you've seen my mood swings. Fred's probably seen my mood swings more than anyone else here in St. Louis because he's worked with me for almost 20 years at this point.
Yeah.
But I was just really bummed out. I couldn't understand how I did it. I really don't know how I did it.
This child gets 2 weeks off and she's had 8,000 snow days
as
well.
It's terrible.
Oh, man.
Here's another option. Alexa goes to school. If there's someone else that wants to go on a cruise with my wife, I can't get the time off. Fred's already going on a trip, so I can't get the time off.
Man.
If someone would like to go with my wife, I'll just take my daughter off the cruise. I'm sure she'll be willing to do it.
Yeah, no bitterness.
I'm an idiot. Did
anybody watch the 50th anniversary? Mark and of SNL. Mark and I did because we saw Paul Simon at the beginning. Yeah. It was awful.
I saw parts of it.
Wowzers. Yeah, it was really disappointing. I felt bad about that.
And the timing of the announcement then, too.
Yes.
Because obviously I think they did it on purpose, but okay.
Yeah, that wasn't good. Over 14 million people did watch that, and it was that's the NBC and Peacock combined. Interestingly, this is fewer than the number of people who watched the Grammys, but it's like the second biggest viewing thing since the new year. On this day in history is a sad one, but I felt like I should mention it. It was 24 years ago today in 2001 that NASCAR legend Dale Earnhardt passed away in that multi-car crash on the last lap of the Daytona 500. He was only 51, and he raced for 22 years. I wore my striped sweater for him, sweater.
I saw our friend Kenny Wallace doing some shout-outs this morning.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's really nice, too. I want to tell you what I did last week. I forgot to mention this. Michael has a new hobby, and that is go-kart racing indoors.
I love
it. That's right. And he's in a league. So I went to see it because I said, what? And he goes, well, you run three times. The poor man is desperate to drive. And so you have to do it inside this time of year. And it's a huge, huge facility. And he said, I hope they have something for people who weigh a little more than the average person because of height.
Well, it's not that he weighs a lot, but it's his height.
Yeah. And they do. They had one over 220. So all these people, you know, they cap it at a certain number, maybe 10 or 12, and they go around. And it's the same thing. You have to qualify, and then you have a race. It was a hoot. And they had little kids in it, too. I saw a woman win her division. It's kind of fun. So it goes on for several weeks.
Where is this? Though?
It's kind of in Crestwood. It's called
it's the Victory Race.
Yeah.
That place is awesome.
Have you been there?
Yeah, I've been there before.
Fred, have you been?
I think I have.
I think we all need to go some go-kart races.
Last time I went, I took Alexa, and she, depending on your age and experience, you can go, you know, in the super fast cars.
Right.
Do that with her. But it's not easy either. You know, you kind of have to get a rhythm, and it's fun watching, you know, people who are really good at it because there's definitely
yeah.
skill involved.
Yeah. But we'll see how that goes. I would like to try it. All right. J.D. Power has released its 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study, which analyzed the durability of three-year-old cars. Now, this is from model year 2022. And Lexus was the top-ranking brand for the third consecutive year. It was followed by Buick, Mazda, Toyota, and Cadillac. Of all the 30 brands, can you guess which was ranked last? Fred. Think about a controversy over the last. Mark?
No, I'm lost too.
Volkswagen.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, Volkswagen was ranked last. Chrysler was next worst, followed by Jeep, which is a Chrysler, Audi, and Land Rover. So just so you know. Now, in random pet news, since we all have dogs, I'm bringing this up. Scientists in Austria figured out the best way to get a dog to pay attention to something. Point at the thing while staring at it. So if you want to do something, can't just say, hey, you know, I'm going to look over here and go on. Point at it, stare at it, and tell them what it is. And that's supposed to work. So try it out, Fred.
Okay.
See what Luna can do. I give up on Mark's household.
I have a better way to get them to pay attention. Give them a treat.
Well, that's true, too.
Right? Just give them food. They're always interested in it.
But if you want them to pay attention to blah, blah, what you're doing, stare. Apparently that does it with the pointing.
Well, because, yeah, we don't do that, right? We look at the dog.
Exactly.
Okay, well, maybe I'll try that.
Or you kind of wander off in your eyesight. That does not work. All right, the Italian chemist who is credited with inventing Nutella passed away on Valentine's Day.
Oh my gosh, this is sad, actually.
He was 97. Not a bad run. His name was Francesco Rivella. He's been in the sweets business since 1952.
Let me tell you something about Nutella.
Nutella's
been around for a long time, but here, you know, I was robbing myself of the joys of Nutella for a long time. And then in 2011, I took listeners to Italy. And I remember being at one of those, you know, places on the highway. It's like a, you know, convenience store over the highway, whatever they call those places. And they had like gallon jugs of Nutella. And I remember taking a picture of that, and I was so happy with the way that Nutella was featured at the European breakfast that I came back ever since 2011.
And
there's always been Nutella in my refrigerator. I was late to the game.
I understand.
Not in my fridge. I'm in my what do you call it, cupboard.
Yeah.
Can I use the word cupboard?
You can. It was first introduced, Fred, in 1964.
Wow.
So, not bad, and sorry that he is gone.
We do a little Nutella on the pancakes every once in a while. I like Nutella on an English muffin. Oh. That's pretty good.
You can get it in crepes in France.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll just put it in a crepe and call it good.
Delicious.
Yeah, my kids really did it a lot when they were in school.
Oh, and they finally had a breakthrough for Mardi Gras. The Louisiana State University researchers have created biodegradable beads. It seems like a no-brainer.
It really
doesn't
does.
It?
And it's taken how long?
Yes, forever. Well, they contain seeds. So once they break down, they can they sprout plants. So this is actually a positive. They say the beads are still in the early stages, and 3D printing takes about 90 minutes. Now, how do you 3D print something that grows? Help me. I don't understand.
No, I'm not smart enough for that. I'm the guy who booked the cruise for the wrong week, so I don't know how I'd answer that question.
True. I need to consider my audience. Yes.
Yeah.
How many photos do you have on your camera roll in your phone? More or less than 1,600, Fred Bottenheimer?
Oh, I think I'm right about there probably.
Do you have more than that,
many,
don't you,
many
Mark?
More, many
I do,
more.
Too. They say in a new report that the typical person has 1,598 photos. I say that is way, way low. 19% of people say they rarely look back through them, and the advice is put them on a thumb drive so you'll have more space on your phone.
And I have
How many?
How many?
12,484.
12,000? You thought
you
had 1,500? Oh, my gosh.
Where does it tell you that, Fred, right at the top?
At the very top, underneath library.
12,000?
I don't see
Fred,
number,
there's
though.
A little bit of a difference between those numbers.
Yeah, just a
oh, my
comma.
Gosh. I'd have to look. Okay, now we all stare at our phones. I can't figure it out. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. In the early 1900s, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich was considered a delicacy and only eaten by rich people. By the 1920s, the price of peanut butter went way down, and they became more popular with the average person. So, yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that bizarre?
Huh. I love just how much perspective changes things.
Exactly.
We talked about Nutella and peanut butter in one little segment there. Look at that.
Uh-huh.
I had peanut butter for lunch today, just so you know.
Oh,
as an elitist.
You.
As an elitist
well,
talk
yes,
radio
that's
host.
You.
All right, what are we doing next, Fred? I can't even remember. Oh, Michael Boyd
that's
on
right.
the Toronto plane crash, and he'll have some thoughts about what happened in the last couple of weeks as well. Paul Simon coming back to St. Louis. Whether that's a good thing or not, we're a little unclear. Well, this was crazy. If you've seen the video of the crash in Toronto, just nuts.
As we made our descent and made touchdown, it was just a very forceful event where all of a sudden everything just kind of went sideways. And then next thing I know is kind of a blink and I'm upside down, still strapped in.
I can't believe that everyone survived that. It's really, really incredible when you look at the video. In particular, Michael Boyd is an aviation analyst and president of the Boyd Group International. He is a great expert on all of these things. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Honored to be here, sir.
Well, what is the best guess as to what happened? Well, maybe I should start this. Have you ever seen anything like that before? Because I hadn't. How about you?
No, it looks like from afar that the right main landing gear collapsed on landing. But I will point this out. Those things happen because these things are built by the hand of man. Machinery breaks. But it shows just how safe air travel really is because everybody got off that airplane alive due to the crew. So this might look like, oh, my God, what's wrong with air service or air transportation? It shows just how much safer it is today than it was 20 years ago.
Well, I think you have a good point there. Just from the perspective we were kind of talking at the beginning of the show, we can all put ourselves in the position of, okay, here we're getting ready to land. I was just on an airplane a few weeks ago. You make sure your seatbelt's on. The trays are in the upright position. And these passengers seemingly thought it was going to be just normal, and all of a sudden, there's a bumpy landing. They see flames. Some of them even said they could feel the flames outside of the aircraft, Michael.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But what happened was you have those people on the airplane called flight attendants. And I'm biased because I've had a flight attendant department. My mother was a flight attendant. I've worked with a flight attendant. But they knew exactly what to do when. And they got the people off the airplane upside down. That's why we're safer than we have been ever before.
So is it too early then to talk about what might have caused this? There's been some theories about high winds on the ground. I heard one pilot earlier saying something about the, you know, the angle that the plane was coming in was a little steeper than maybe he expected. Any thoughts on any of that?
No, not really. I was just concerned that the Canadian authorities came out and said the runway was fine. There were no weather conditions at all. But we do know there were some gusty winds there. So I'm not sure what's going on with the folks up in Toronto and Ottawa on this one. But we know this, that something went wrong with that airplane. It's a mechanical piece of machinery. And when it did, everybody got off. That's the alpha and the omega of this one.
Yeah, obviously, one of the things I think that concerns people, and this does not include me, I think it's very safe to fly in airplanes. But you know how the public reaction is. They see all these things back to back and they start questioning this.
Yeah, the only thing that is consistent in all this, they all were machines with wings. But beyond that, they have very little in common. I mean, a hospital flight going down, that's one thing. A small airplane up in Alaska. None of these things have any connection whatsoever other than they were airplanes. But as far as a consumer is concerned, getting on an airplane out at Lambert, hey, take your boarding pass, get on, go see grandma.
Well, let's kind of take you back to a couple weeks ago, because I know how busy you were, but look, 67 people aboard that crash in D.C. passed away, and the helicopter pilots and crew as well. I think there was some information that might have leaked out a little bit last week, but do we have any better handle on what exactly happened during that incident?
No, it's very clear that our air traffic control system did not work. Our air traffic control system is there to keep airplanes from running into each other. We had two flying machines that happened. So we go back to what happened that did not separate those two flying machines. And that's going to be the alpha and the omega of it. And again, we're back at the situation where maybe someone didn't hear something, people make mistakes, that sort of thing. But we did have an air traffic control system that just did not work.
And I guess what they were saying last week is maybe they described it as bad information on the altitude from their altimeter, where one pilot, this is from ABC News account, one pilot said or thought they were at 400 feet, the other thought they were at 300 feet. Could it be simple as just human error and somebody thought the wrong thing?
Yeah, it is. And again, you know, standing from afar, I just have a problem having helicopters that close to landing airplanes where they're going to be 300 feet apart. That's a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And apparently that was a normal way of doing it, and we got away with it. So I think we have some issues there in terms of policy, because it's very rare to have an accident, but when we do, when we find out why, maybe we've dodged a lot of them. But in the case of Washington, that's a tragedy, and we know there was a problem with the system that manages airplanes. That's what's got to be fixed.
So, Michael, one other question about just the overall safety at airports, not in the air, but even on the ground, because one of the things I think that is maybe somewhat concerning is just the level of staffing and all these other things that kind of came out in the aftermath. Now, we still have a lot of questions about that, but you've had a lot of near misses and other things. Even the day before the helicopter crash, there was a near miss in D.C. There was another one, I think, even last week or a couple of weeks ago in Seattle as well. Any thoughts on that and how concerned we should be about all that stuff?
We should be very, very concerned about it. There should be no near misses per se. And we do know that our air traffic control system has been mismanaged. The FAA has been mismanaged because it's been run by politicians. I think those things are going to get addressed going forward. But, yeah, we shouldn't have those things happening. And it's the people on the pointy end of the airplane, the pilots, that are keeping us safe when those things do happen, because they're usually the ones that say, whoa, we ain't going to do this.
Yeah, no
so,
kidding.
Again, we do have, and again, keep in mind, pilots unions, they might be nasty across the bargaining table, but the rest of the time, they're safety organizations, and they're helping to keep us safe.
Michael Boyd, always great to have your expertise. I really appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I just wanted to throw this in just because we had this audio from Friday and we had the roundtable and we did some, you know, fun stuff before he left for the weekend. But this was the NTSB chair that came out with this announcement on Friday afternoon.
CVR data from the Black Hawk indicated that the portion of the transmission stating the CRJ was circling may not have been received by the Black Hawk crew. We hear the word circling in ATC communications, but we do not hear the word circling on the CVR of the Black Hawk. 20 seconds before impact, a radio transmission from the tower was audible on both CVRs, asking the Black Hawk crew if the CRJ was in sight. A radio transmission from the tower was audible on both CVRs, directing the Blackhawk to pass behind the CRJ. The portion of the transmission that stated, "Pass behind the," may not have been received by the Blackhawk crew. Now, we're confident with the radio altitude of the Blackhawk at the time of the collision that was 278 feet. But I want to caution, that does not mean that's what the Black Hawk crew was seeing. We will issue an urgent safety recommendation if we see that something needs to be acted on immediately. We won't wait till the end of the investigation. Aviation is the safest mode of transportation.
Okay, well, she kind of gets into the weeds there at the end, but I wanted the explanation, which I don't know if that helps you or not. I don't know if that helps you kind of put things together.
Well,
but they may have missed the end of the radio communication. I mentioned to Michael Boyd that, you know, in the ABC account that I kind of pulled up, they were thinking that one pilot might have thought that it was a different altitude. I have no idea, and I don't know if we're going to get to dial in on this more than we have, but good Lord.
Well,
and that basic question, this was raised, you know, that night. Why in the world are helicopters flying training missions like that there at that airport?
Yeah, that, wow. But if they didn't hear that the plane was up, but wouldn't there be, instruments don't show that, you? I am not knowledgeable enough to talk about it.
It's still very, very confusing. And, you know, one of the theories that was offered in the aftermath was, were they, and I didn't hear any of this in that description from the NTSB chair, but were their eyes focused on something else? Maybe at the same time the radio transmissions were telling them this, they were seeing something that they thought was referring to that helicopter, or I'm sorry, that airplane, but it was a different airplane. That was one of the theories that they had at that time. Hey, because I have, we got Cusimano coming up here, so I might ordinarily save this for the next segment, but we didn't, you know, meet with Frank yesterday. We didn't have him on the air, so we're going to do a little makeup here this afternoon with spring training underway and the Four Nations face-off hockey tournament as well. But I wanted to did you see she can't go away? I have some audio from Kamala Harris.
Oh, no.
And she went to Broadway, and she was talking to a bunch of the performers, the actors and the actresses. And honest to God, Sue, this is going to flash back to like September, October, when she finally started talking to people. I have no idea what she's saying. And basically, that's why I want to use the audio, because I want to see if you have any idea what she's saying. I don't even think that people who hear some of the people listen to the ones that react to her. They're like, They don't know either.
We think about like these moments where we see things that are being taken.
Mm-hmm.
But also, let's see it as, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. So where there's a vacancy, then let's fill it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's fill that vacancy.
Right?
What?
Yeah.
And let's know that the reality is that the progress of our nation has always been about the expansion of rights, not the restriction of rights.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a U-turn right now. I think.
Mm-hmm.
For those rights to be maintained, which means we have to be vigilant, and it's just the nature of it.
Yeah, they had no idea.
They have nothing. What are you saying?
Look, thank God you're not president. That's all I would say. And then on the Democrats, we always love Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. I still have never had him on the air. I've tried.
You have?
Yeah. He's a national guy. He goes national, right? Right, with his wordsmithing. And there's what he said about Democrats. He's got some advice for Kamala and her party.
In terms of the Democrats, I've got a lot of friends who are Democrats, and they haven't asked me for advice. But if I did, I'd tell them, look, you just got to try harder not to suck. I mean, think about it. Over the past 4 years, the Democrats mismanaged Congress. They mismanaged COVID. They mismanaged the economy. They mismanaged inflation. They mismanaged the national debt. They mismanaged Afghanistan. More recently, in their opposition to President Trump and Mr. Musk, the Democrats have chosen to support the bureaucrats and the spending porn over the American taxpayer.
One of the things I love about Senator Kennedy, we go way back with using his, you know, one of the things I'll have to tell him if I ever meet him or if I have him on the air is he'll probably want to charge us a little bit of a fee for all of his, you know, sound bites that we've used. But let's just look at those 45 seconds that I just shared with you. And I don't think you can get a better explanation from some, you know, whiz political science professor at Harvard.
Because I see what you mean. He boils it down.
Yeah, he boiled it down pretty well there, didn't he?
Just like they support illegal immigration over the rule of law. Just like they support transgender athletes over women's sports. Just like they support Hamas terrorists over Israel.
Yep.
All Democrats are not like this, but the party is controlled right now by people who majored in online activism with a minor and puberty blockers.
That's true.
I know these people. They think women, they think men can breastfeed.
Yeah.
They're triggered by race. They cry if you use the wrong pronoun. And most fair-minded Americans look at this and they go, these people are about 10 exits past normal. And that's what's killing the Democrats right now, in my opinion.
It ain't that complicated. It's really not. But he's such a wordsmith, and we love Senator Kennedy. That's why we use him in the opens. Cusimano on a Tuesday afternoon, because we missed him yesterday, coming up. So I don't even know what I was doing Saturday night to get a text from Fred, because we texted about sports, and he said...
How about Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Thank you, Kenny. He says, are you watching USA-Canada? Three fights in the opening 9 seconds. And I missed that, but I have seen some of the highlights. Frank Cusimano from KSDK is here. Well, boy, a little tension there between our neighbor, our 51st state, as Trump calls it. Right, Frank? How are you this afternoon?
Yes. And make no mistakes, Mark, that President Trump has had something to do with the amount of interest in this USA against Canada final coming up on Thursday night. In fact, Bill Guerin, who is the general manager for Team USA Hockey, has said today on Fox News that he welcomes the president to come into the locker room before the game to fire up the troops. And then if you give Trump an assist, I think you have to give the goals to the Kachuk boys.
Yes.
You know, the guys who grew up on Mosley Road, the pride of Chaminade, for their display, because they were involved in two of the three fights. And Matthew has been a big proponent of the United States, and he loves Trump. And, you know, there's a lot of political flavor to this whole rivalry. There's no doubt about it.
Can you, for me, back up just a little bit? Because this is just a little foreign to me with the four nations. So how did we get to the point we're at right now? Is that the championship game then on Thursday?
Yes. And basically, the four nations face-off is a way of the NHL getting out of playing that ridiculous All-Star game.
Right.
You know, because like, it's like the NBA game that nobody cares about, the Pro Bowl, which they had to change and made it even more dumb. But this is the most passionate thing ever. I mean, think about it. You had a 4.4 rating on ESPN. It was the highest rated non-Stanley Cup game in 6 years. I think it could get to 7 or 8 million on Thursday night.
Well, if Trump gets involved, maybe even higher than that, because you'll have people, more casual people. That'll be very interesting. So what time is that game on Thursday?
7 o'clock on Thursday night in Boston. Ironically, the home of Keith Kachuk and where his mom and dad and where the Kachuk spend a lot of time in the summer. So you talk about an ovation, and there will be no booing the national anthem that night.
Yeah, I guess you can see it just for, passing this along to the audience, ESPN, ESPN Plus, and Disney Plus, too. So if you have that, you can watch that. All right, my Tigers beat Georgia. I was a little worried about, pooping the bed on a game that they should have won, but they handled them pretty effectively over the weekend. And they got a big game tomorrow night at Mizzou Arena, Frank, don't you?
Yeah, you have Alabama, who was in the game for a long time, or made a nice run against Auburn, but ended up losing. So, boy, every one of these Mizzou games, it's all about one word: seeding. Because if you start, beating like top fives and top tens, I mean, you never know. I mean, Mizzou could end up being like a 3 or 4 seed before it's all said and done.
It's not out of the question. I was looking at the schedule. So they got 6 games remaining, including a couple of tough games on the road. Let's say that they win 4 of the 6. Then they head into the, the tournament in Nashville, likely with the double bye. Maybe they only need to win 1 there, but you're right. I don't think a 4 seed is completely out of the question, unless you lose 3 out of 6 or something like that. That's going to definitely hurt them, Frank.
Yeah. And Mark, here's the thing, too, is every time I watch them, I think to myself, they are not the type of team that all of a sudden, when they get on the big stage of the NCAA tournament, that's going to get rattled. You know why? Because they have a plethora of players, 22 to 24, who all have 1,000 points on their resume. You know, the Perkinses, the Bateses, the Grills. They just got a bunch of guys who've done doing it for so long that I don't think they're going to have this one-and-done thing that Mizzou sometimes does in the NCAA tournament.
Man, you hope not, because we've been there for too many of those, and certainly I have lots of PTSD over Norfolk State. But one of the things I've said about this team the whole season, you know, this goes back to even December, they're not intimidated. You could see. Now, they've had some games where they've been sloppy. I can certainly hope that Dennis Gates is locking them in a gym and making sure they can't leave until they hit 50 free throws in a row, and of course, Josh Gray would be there for the end of time. But they're not intimidated by their team. So I like what you just said there, because I think on that bigger stage, they still think they have something to prove.
And do you remember that, well, the Norfolk State team, I know you have PTSD about it, but let me throw this at you. That team had this, what they called that special moment in time of making that extra pass. I mean, they were a beautiful team to watch despite that one terrible afternoon in Nebraska. They won 31 games, I believe. But this team has that really cool chemistry. I know this seems kind of like trivial, but like after every game, the SEC Network tries to interview one guy. Well, they never get one guy. They get the whole team. And then they do some kind of fun celebration afterwards with all 12 of them. I mean, they really have everything going for them.
They're having a lot of fun. And the fun factor, look, we see this with the Cardinals. Let me segue into one spring training question. When the Cardinals look like they're having fun, they're usually playing pretty well and winning. So where are we with spring training right now? Nolan Arenado settling in as the current third baseman, right?
Yeah, it's going to, you know, I don't know what it does to the progress of Nolan Gorman, because Brendan Donovan has to play every day. So that means Donovan is your second baseman. They are reluctant to play Lars Nootbaar in center, so he's in left. So you'll have that Ciani and Victor Scott platoon so far in center. And so that's part-time at-bats for Nolan Gorman, who you really wanted to find out about. I mean, let's remember, he was 23 years old a couple of years ago, and he hit 27 home runs. He has incredible power. And if he can just figure out this, not striking out so much, where he struck out 37% of the time, which I believe is the most in Cardinal history for a guy with over 4 at-bats. I just want him to get at-bats. We need to find out about he and Jordan Walker more than anything.
Well, how do you think Arenado's, you know, obviously he's going to be a pro. We talked about this on Friday a little bit, but it's got to be weird, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and he handled it really well on Sunday in his scrum with the media. And, you know, if he was honest, too, he said, look, I'd love to have the team buying in and us going for it, but I know this is a business, and that's not the business they want to do right now. So, but I'm sure, you know, he looked like he was in really good shape. I don't know if he's even too thin, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has a fine season.
Well, look, expectations are so low that my prediction at this point would be, watch, they'll do something that'll shock us. I'm not saying they're going to go to the World Series, but maybe they'll be a little better than we thought, just because, who knows, sports works in weird ways sometimes, Frank. We'll talk on Friday afternoon heading into the weekend. I appreciate it.
Sounds good, Mark.
All right, take care. A little makeup date from yesterday, because we had the holiday off. Frank Cusimano from KSDK, who joins us on a Monday and a Friday. Yeah, I don't know what to expect, but I guess the good news would be that anything could make them look better than we
exactly
think they might be. By the way, I sent this to, you know, we have this text string with my friend Joe Arnold and Scott Jennings, and I sent this to him today because I saw this on MLB on their X account. There was a game over the weekend between, this really happened, between Rhode Island and William & Mary. You know what the finals, this is a baseball game. The final score was Rhode Island 36.
What?
William and Mary 22. Yeah, it was 36-22.
Wow.
Apparently they need some pitchers on both those teams. But wow, that's a lot of scoring. All right, we have coming up after the top of the hour, Peter Zane from Real Clear Politics talking some Doge. It's all coming up, plus an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.